for Macy's right now, so marketing right now is just exploding with possibilities because of AI and technological advances. Tony comes from marketing. I really think it's the perfect leader at the top.
Retail Unwrapped is a weekly podcast hosted by Robin Lewis and Shelley Cohan from The Robin Report. Each episode dives into the latest trends and developments in the retail industry. Join them as they discuss interesting topics and interview industry leaders, keeping you in the loop with everything retail.
Hi, everybody, and thanks for joining our weekly podcast. I'm Robin Lewis, founder and CEO of The Robin Report, along with my podcast partner, Shelley Cohan. And we welcome you today to Macy's Bold New Chapter, or as I said in an article I wrote, out with those pesky vultures and in with new CEO Tony Spring. And Shelley, you know, there you have it, really, my vulture article, which, by the way, listeners can go to our site and read about the vulture investment firms, you know, that are causing a lot of problems there. And, you know, they're wanting to acquire Macy's. And I say out with them because on the other side, in my opinion, you've got the real deal in Tony Spring. He's Macy's new CEO, right? And who has a no-nonsense, I think, clear-eyed vision about right-sizing the lumbering behemoth that Macy's has become over the years, you know, which a lot of experts believed should have been done decades ago, even before their acquisition of the May Company. You remember all that, I'm sure.
Oh, my God, I lived through all that.
Yeah, I know. You were there. It's a real deal.
I was living it.
Yeah. And but you know, that is a whole other story, which might be interesting for us to do. Anyway, that acquisition doubled their size. Anyway, Tony now takes the helm, you know, after about three decades in senior management positions at Bloomingdale's, which as a part of Macy's Inc. Gave Tony a head start in figuring out what to do to stop the decades of Macy's bleeding, if you will. Mm-hmm. And you know, and also trying to figure out how to charge forward with some kind of a new growth strategy. But before we get into that, Shelley, I know that you dug up some of the numbers. What are the most recent numbers? Give us a quick snapshot.
Yeah, no problem. So Macy's just came out. This is where all this bold new chapter came from. They just came out with their big Q4 earnings report. And, you know, if you look at the full year for 2023, the revenue was down about 5.5%, which, you know, we knew department stores were headed that way. Department stores overall as a category outside of Macy's, you know, ended up 5% down for the year or 3% down for the year. Sorry, department stores were 3% down for the year, 5% down in January, 3% down for the year. Macy's comes in down 5.5. So the moral of the story is Macy's is down more than the industry is down. So that's a little bit concerning, but we're not surprised by this. A big piece of that is the whole apparel and accessories world, right? Apparel and accessories, you know, has kind of been off and on all year last year through fiscal year ending January 2024. But what's more concerning, Robin, here's the thing that's a bit more concerning is their comp store. So, you know, comparable sales are this year versus last year on stores that were open last year and this year together. It doesn't include new stores. It doesn't closed stores, those sales are down like 6.9%.
Oh my
so
God.
Yeah. That's probably a little more concerning when I look at it. And the decision to close 150 Macy's stores, I know everyone's kind of going crazy over that, but you know what? They need to reduce their square footage and they have to do it in the least productive locations.
You got that right. You know, and Spring did acknowledge that many of Macy's stores were not only underperforming, but also lacked service, you know, a pleasant experience, and many of them are dying with the malls that they're in. So, you know, they, as you mentioned, they're closing about 150 stores that you mentioned. And that brings the total count down to about 350.
Right.
And as stated earlier, a big focus will switch to opening smaller Macy's stores, many to be located in shopping centers and neighborhoods, which, you know, quite frankly, it's closer to where their consumers reside. And, you know, they also are going to invest in modernizing and, you know, kind of re-energizing the remaining Macy's stores. So, and they're also going to open more Bloomie's small format stores, as well as Blue Mercury.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, I just want to go back to something you said earlier about, you know, all the mergers and acquisitions that I've lived through. I'm going to throw out some names that, you know, going down memory lane here, you're probably going to be like, oh my God. Remember Campo?
Oh, yes. From Canada, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Campo, Federated. There was Macy's, Bon Marché, Burdine's, Goldsmith, Lazarus, Riches, Bullock's, iMagnon. So I came from Bullock's Wilshire to iMagnon to Bullock's to Macy's. So, you know, it's like Pac-Man was eating up, you know, all these, you know, department store brands. But the other thing that happened, and it makes sense that they have to close some of these locations, is there's malls all over America where there's two Macy's, and Macy's and Macy's are the two anchors. And so a lot of those locations, they made one a home store and one an accessory store. So I don't know. I think the closing of the small stores is a smart move. And if you go back and reflect upon all the department stores that were, you know, merged together with Macy's over the past, I don't know, two decades. Yeah, it just makes sense.
Yep. And wasn't Marshall Field one of those?
Marshall Fields. Yeah. I forgot about Marshall Fields. Remember the big controversy changing that name, it. Marshall Fields, to Macy's?
I know. And the people in Chicago, which, by the way, you know, I was born and lived 90 miles south of Chicago. You know, I have to think I've got an allergy, by the way. I used to go with my grandmother to Marshall Fields when I visited her in Chicago. And we'd always end up having lunch in the dining room of Marshall Fields. It's a wonderful memory.
I'm wondering, you know, it'd be cool, Robin, if you, next time you talk to Tony Spring, you should ask. I'm wondering it, because he's a marketing guy, right? I'm wondering if he would have changed the name. Like Marshall Fields was so embedded in that community. I still question that name change.
I think it was totally wrong.
Yeah.
I agree. He may have had a different point of view on that. Anyway, also coming back to the small format store, I think there's an irony here when you just mentioned like Pac-Man. Well, now it's a total reverse, right? Small format Macy's is kind of being the Pac-Man. So, but anyway, seriously, it does play a pivotal role in the company's omni-channel strategy because they're expanding their presence in existing markets, entering new markets, and, you know, maintaining a presence in existing markets by replacing, you know, the underperforming stores.
Right. And I like their investments in obviously Bloomingdale's. I think, you know, Bloomingdale's, the luxury market, that'll be positive. And of course, Blue Mercury. Let's not forget Blue Mercury, owned by Macy's. And, you know, I think they had the best sales result of the three different brands. And just to go back to the small format store. So you remember, Robin, they came out with Market by Macy's and then they dropped the Market by, which I think they should have ditched it. I mean, Market by Macy's and Macy's is confusing. Just call it Macy's. And I think it's a great idea, but I visited some of the Market by Macy's or Macy's small store format. And they really have to work on the merchandising. It just feels like when I'm in those stores, it's like someone went to all the buyers and said, okay, you know, give us, you know, 15 styles to throw into the store. I'm sure that's not what they did. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I'm just saying it's there's no story in those stores on merchandising. And it's supposed to be curated to the market.
Yeah, you know, I'm hearing that from a lot of people, Shelley. They really did have a problem, and I think still do, with the early small stores that they launched. But it also, a market by Macy's kind of struck a nerve. It reminded me of the launch of New Coke, which probably remember that was back in the early 80s. You know, they thought New Coke was going to expand their market share. So how did that work out, Mr. Coca-Cola? It didn't.
That's right. And not to go off on a tangent on Coke, but I have to say, do you remember Zero Coke when it first came out? It has a big zero on the can, Zero Coke. But the problem, you know, and I think they had a worse fate than like the New Coke. The problem with the Zero Coke is no one understood what zero was. Is it zero calories? Is it zero sugar? Is it zero artificial sweetener? Like, what's the zero part? It wasn't till they added sugar to zero, so zero sugar, that the customer finally got it. And then it was like the biggest growth driver at Coke just by changing that branding. So, you know, with Tony Spring in the role, I think this whole market by Macy's, small format Macy's will work. I think the name is confusing, you know, market by Macy's, it has to be dropped. And it just has to be. It just doesn't make sense, especially when you start talking about Macy's marketplaces, which is different than market by Macy's. Now that's really confusing. The marketplaces obviously are the online stuff. So I think Tony Spring's going to really get this small format perfect.
Oh, I do too. And you know, also think about the event that the brand, you know, stamps itself onto every year. Macy's Thanksgiving Parade, Macy's 4th of July fireworks. I mean, so, yeah, I agree with you on Tony Spring. He knows how to do that. Anyway, back to Macy's. And on a macro note, Shelley, what about the department store model itself? I mean, there used to be about 5,000 department stores in the early 1960s. And their aggregate share of market has been shrinking since then. I think all the department stores in the aggregate had about a 25% share of market, and it's been shrinking ever since. I mean, who is left, Shelley? Dillard's?
Right.
Yes, and Dillard's is doing good, by the way. Belk's, I think, has been struggling under Sycamore ownership, Sycamore being the PE firm. Is Bon-Ton still alive?
Oh, my God, Bon-Ton. I haven't heard that in so long. I don't know. That's interesting.
And Nordstrom, I think they like to call themselves a specialty store, but you know they really are kind of in the department store format category. But who else is still around? And Shelley, what about the young consumers? How do they relate to this kind of older than time model?
It's true. I would definitely put Nordstrom's in the department store category for sure. But remember what they're doing, their big strategy. So Pete Nordstrom a few years ago said that their strategy is to go from 15, that's 1.5% concessions, to 55.0.
Wow.
So he started changing the kind of dynamic and modeling of department stores a few years ago. And I know that's what they're going to continue to focus on. But you're right about the younger customer. The younger customer, you know, Gen Z and soon to be Gen Alpha. Gen Alpha is like, Gen Alpha really has an impact on the consumer dollar. Mm. Even though they're young, their parents are spending money on their behalf. And let me just say, they're not shopping in department stores. Let's face it. So I think the other thing with what's interesting about department stores, it's kind of one of the few categories that hasn't even made it back to pre-pandemic sales levels. So, Robin, think about this for a second. Inflation pricing has gone up since 2019. We're paying more for goods, right? Yet department stores still are under the revenue they were pre-pandemic. These big, large, oversized stores with layouts similar to department stores have been waning in terms of consumer shopping preferences, especially with younger generations. And, you know, we've talked about this, Robin. Many of these large format stores, Nordstrom's, Bloomingdale's, Macy's, Walmart, Target, they're all been testing these smaller format stores that are located in the neighborhood where the customer lives. And by the way, Kohl's and Ulta Beauty, that's how they started their location strategy. That's exactly where they plan to put their stores in those neighborhood locations.
Yep. And Shelly, to once again go back in time a little bit, and you'll remember this as well. You know, Les Wexner launched the Limited, a retail specialty store model, of which the name on the door was the brand in the store. In other words, that whole branded specialty retail format. They were one of the first, and it really exploded as a new format for retailing. And following, as you know, were hundreds, if not thousands, of new branded retail specialty stores. And they actually, over all these years, were crushing department stores for decades, gobbling up chunks of the department store shares of markets. So a lot of the business that department stores had went in that direction. So,
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I see Macy's and Bloomie's, they're small formats. I think they are leaning into more of that specialty format.
Oh, definitely they are. And the other thing I'll just say real quick is, yeah, the specialty stores took a lot away from the department stores, but you know who else is really taking away market share from department stores? Shockingly, is the Walmarts and the Targets. So when you look at their product development process, so you look at Target and all those private labels they're making, they are super competitive to Macy's private label. They're well-made, they're good quality, they're great value. And by the way, you can pick up a gallon of milk while you're in Target, right? Walmart, you know, Denise and Candela's running the fashion side, and they have completely upped their game. So not only a specialty store taking away share from department stores, I think the discount stores are doing that too.
Yep. And so off prices as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, off price is huge right now. Growing. TJ Maxx just had their earnings results too, and they had another stellar performance. But yeah, the Bloomingdale's is supposed to open up 15 new stores, which is great. Bluemercury, Macy's is going to open up 30 new Bluemercury stores. So that'll be, I think, great. I like the bold new chapter. I think it's great that they're going to look at the, you know, footprint of the stores. They're going to look at store profitability, not just the four wall, but the market profitability of the markets that they're in. They're going to revitalize the product assortment and, of course, focus on the digital growth. Artificial intelligence is going to help a lot of retailers build out stronger technical capabilities that impact the actual shopping journey, customer services, product recommendations, search features, enhanced product information. I was at e-tail last week, and I saw so many virtual salespeople. So you create virtual salespeople, and they help assist customers. So wow. I definitely agree with you, Robin, that Macy's will be advantage in terms of using a lot of these technological capabilities. And like I mentioned earlier, I think for Macy's right now, so marketing right now is just exploding with possibilities because of AI and technological advances. Tony comes from marketing. Yep. I really think it's the perfect leader at the top to really drive Macy's forward in its bold new chapter.
Yeah, absolutely, Shelly. And Tony also has a background as a merchant as well. And frankly, his background of some 30 years at Bloomingdale's gave him experience in pretty much, I think, all of the functions of the value chain. So it's really kind of the trifecta to lead Macy's in its bold new direction. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, his background's great. I mean, you think about it, you know, he's got this big marketing background. So think what's going to happen with AI marketing automation or influencer marketing or content creators or marketplaces, hyper-personalization, on and on and on.
Unbelievable. Yeah, Shelly, and it's as always, it's consumer, consumer, and consumer, right? And I've heard Tony express the same over and over. And I believe his bold new vision really confirms his focus on the consumer.
Yeah. And guess what, Robin? The other area that I believe Tony's going to make a tremendous impact is Macy's Media Networks.
Oh, yeah.
So
thanks for bringing that up. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember, they launched this a few years ago. Like other retailers, Walmart, Dick's, Target's, they all have their retail media networks branded. But for Macy's, it's over $100 million. And, that's only 2 years into it. So,
yeah, I think I read some Macy's Media Networks, I think, reaches over 48 million customers. Do I have that?
Wow.
Pretty much right. I think I do.
Yeah, I heard that too. It's close to 50 million. So yeah, 48 sounds right.
Okay.
It's unbelievable. And before we close today, we have to talk about marketplaces or Macy's Marketplace, which is all of their online partners. And you and I touched upon this in our podcast called Consumers Are Getting High on Consumption Addiction.
Yeah.
But the Macy's Marketplace is on Macy's.com. So they're inviting partners to be on their Macy's.com. And they have over 400 new brands from third-party merchants in 20 new product categories and growing. And this just launched a couple of years ago. So I'm sure that number is growing and going into 2024 focus for the business. We should really do like a whole other podcast on marketplaces, because I can't tell you how many marketplaces are out there right now. It's unbelievable.
And it gets really complicated. And you're right. We had to do something on that, because there's a lot of issues around that are pretty negative. But anyway, to wrap it up, I really hope Macy's does not succumb to the activists. I think Tony really deserves the shot at his bold strategy. And as always, I defer to the cardinal rule. Strategy is one thing. Implementation, however, is another. And as I look at a revitalized Macy's future, Shelley, I really do believe that Tony Spring can successfully lead both. A big challenge? Well, you bet it is. But hey, that's what he signed up for, right?
That's right, Robin. Well said. Thank you to our listeners. And make sure you connect with us on social media and link in with us.
And one final thank you to all of our listeners. And as I always say, if you have a topic you would like Shelley and I to cover, just send me an email to robin@therobinreport.com.
Thank you for listening to Retail Unwrapped. We'll be back in 1 week with another podcast. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcast service. If you have questions, ideas for a podcast, or anything else, please contact us via therobinreport.com.